This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 138, and my name is Derek Gallimore. So today I am joined by Marla Rausch of Animation Vertigo. I have a really good conversation with Marla about her background, which is she's Philippines, she's Filipina, and now living in the US, LA, and running a really kind of high-tech, high-skill outsourcing operation, I'd like to call it. But you will, of course, get a much better introduction and explanation from Marla. So I'm sure you'll learn a lot here and really enjoy our conversation. If you want to get in touch with Marla or know any more about this episode, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/138. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome everybody to Outsource Accelerator. And today I am super excited to have Marla Rausch with us of Animation Vertigo. Hi, Marla, how are you?
I'm doing well, Derek. How are you doing? Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And so you have a fantastic story. You're a Filipina, obviously, but have spent much of your life in the US and are spanning the globe now with a company pretty much, I believe, serving the US, but based on a Philippine backend. So super excited to learn all about this. But I suppose initially, do you want to introduce yourself and give people a quick update as to how you came to spanning the globe like this?
Of course. Wow, that's a big question. So I'm Marla Rausch. I am the founder and CEO of Animation Vertigo, and it's the office here as well in Animation Vertigo Asia in the Philippines. Been around for about 14 years now, and providing motion capture animation services to production companies all around the world. That's the global part. So we work on film, we work on video games, we work on TV and web, and just providing the fantastical characters with human motions and making them all realistic.
Fantastic. And I had to confirm exactly what motion capture animation services are, but effectively it's kind of the avatar, and it's those 3D kind of awesome.
It's all the things that we see now on the behind the scenes when you're talking about Marvel, for example, and they're doing all of their shoots with their markers on their bodies and the green screen behind them, and then they start being the Hulk, let's say, or they start being Gollum, or, you know, smaller from
the, yeah, because it's actually kind of bleeding into a lot of action movies now, isn't it? I mean, I'm just figuring this out for myself as I talk, but, you know, there's Avatar, which is completely graphics, but then most of the Marvel have any kind of action scenes now are effectively animation based, aren't they?
Absolutely. And in fact, motion capture makes things, I hate to say the word simpler, because, you know, people get an idea that it's simple, it's cheaper, or it's simpler, it's easier. Simpler just in the sense that you don't have a lot of keyframing, you don't do a lot more longer term work. There's still a lot of specialization and technical stuff that's involved in it. For example, when you do a scene like in World War Z, where you see those zombies climbing up that huge wall, it's unlikely that it's going to be actual humans that's going to be climbing up that huge wall. So it's definitely motion capture that they were using and making that thing look that way. So it gives it that ability to make it look realistic, but at the same time also make it manageable to where, you know, you don't actually have to draw all that or have people climb up a wall.
And zombies are hard to work with, aren't they?
Truly, they tend to eat your brain. So
That's uncool. Yeah. But and I always imagine. I mean, I read a review of Toy Story, and they said it's harder to start with animation because you're literally starting with a blank page. Whereas if you're filming a normal video, then obviously you have the scenery around you. But but surely it must be kind of cheaper to blow up a building in animation as opposed to doing the real thing.
Yeah. I think so, yes. Also, you know, blowing up cars and, much cheaper.
Is that all animation now? So when a car blows up?
Yes. So they do animation, and there's actually this amazing technology now that they have this almost like a skeleton of a car that exists, and they have markers. They have some sort of their version of markers on it, and they'll film that. And this car can then have any feature or any, it could be any car in the world. It could be a Toyota, it could be a Ferrari, it could be a Lamborghini, it could be a Ford, you know,
wow.
And just change it without actually utilizing the real car. So I just saw that at a SIGGRAPH event, and I was pretty impressed by that because, you know, a lot of advertisers, I'm sure, will be very happy that they don't have to drive or borrow a Ferrari when they're doing their commercial.
It's crazy how it's advancing so quick. Anyway, so what I want to do is rewind first before we go into really into the future. But can you give us a little bit of your background? You're proudly Filipina and you
yes.
grew up here. What is your personal journey and how did you end up in L.A.?
Well, Derek, that's a great question because I always seem to, when I tell this story, people don't. Are surprised that I ended up where I ended up because I grew up here. I was born here in the Philippines. I went to the University of the Philippines and I actually was studying to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. And halfway through, or once I finished my my college, I decided I was going to be a lawyer. And then I studied law and then I quit because I didn't think that I was actually going to be a good lawyer. And met my husband, moved to the U.S., and became a financial advisor. And all in that, while I was being a financial advisor, I learned how to do motion capture animation. I did cleanup work, did freelance on that. And basically, cut a long story short, I ended up utilizing all the skills that I learned in all that and became a businesswoman and opened up Animation Vertigo.
Isn't that incredible? So you actually, I mean... You had a few careers there, and certainly a lot of education. So you're obviously capable. But this iteration of your career with the whole animation thing, it was self-taught effectively.
Yes, effectively, yes. And it's one of the reasons why when people come up and ask me, you know, so how do I do this? What can I do? And everything. I always talk to them about skill and experience because it doesn't matter what business. Well, you know, you have to be interested in what you want to do, but it doesn't matter what version of yourself you start with, because at the end of the day, you're looking at where you want to be and what you want to be doing, not necessarily, you know, I want to be, you know, a doctor or something, and then it's a vague thing on a doctor, but what kind of doctor and what area and specialty are you going to be doing and what exactly are you going to be? Are you teaching to be a doctor? Are you a teaching doctor? Are you going to be a hands-on doctor or stuff like that? And I think that's where I kind of see it, that we pick up things along the way and we learn things about ourselves and then we can use that for whatever we're interested in. And
you stumbled on this kind of animation, you were doing a bit of kind of freelance work for that, you felt an affinity for that, did you? Like more so maybe than journalism and law?
I did. There was something interesting about it because I could actually use my my communication skills and my law skills because, God, one can imagine the contracts and non-disclosure agreements one has to sign. But it brought about the creative side of me and the analytical side into one. So that was pretty interesting. And I really like the technology in motion capture because it's never the same. It's constantly changing. You're constantly driven to keep up with everyone else, which, you know, I tend to get bored easily. So something like that makes it easy for me to kind of go, oh, there's something new. And, you know, you go from there. So it was something that kind of fit my personality as well.
And I think it demonstrates a fantastic opportunity for people in the Philippines that are outsourcing. And, you know, it's not like kind of yesteryear where people were maybe working in factories. This is now like outsourcing is kind of a white collar, highly professional, highly skilled sector.
Absolutely.
But also people are, enabled and able to educate themselves and pick up new skills and really compete on an even footing against anyone in the world now, aren't they? And you know, these skills can be picked up and there's education available out there, much of it now free. There's huge opportunity, I think, for people anywhere, but in the Philippines as well, to upskill themselves and really compete on an international level, you know?
Absolutely. I think the only, and that's true for a lot of the things here in the Philippines. I think one of the biggest challenges, though, that we're finding is that when you deal with technology and when you deal with something that constantly change, we need some support in the Philippines. There's not a lot of free information out there. It requires training, which is what we kind of do in our studio. We hire full time. We don't do any contractual work or freelance work. So everybody that works there full time, because it's constant learning that we need to have there. And if they're freelancers, they tend to, you know, your attention is, you know, animators by nature seems to be, you know, their attention seems to be divided anyway. Mm-hmm. But
you're dealing with the creative side.
Yeah, it becomes a little different, more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. But it is, you know, it's inspiring, really, isn't it? That I mean, the creativity, and I think anything that is at the forefront of anything has a high level of redundancy, doesn't it? Like, law doesn't yes. change that yeah. much, whereas animation yeah. is probably changing by the month, isn't it? And
yes.
But do you? And this is what I kind of question the tech people here in Manila and Philippines. Uh-huh. I don't really feel that the universities are that relevant anymore because of the high redundancy. They need yes. to empower people to learn and educate themselves. But do you think people here need infrastructure support, or are they just best to be guided to jump onto the US forums, the kind of US accelerator programs, so that they're truly on an international platform learning whatever they're interested in, whether it be animation or coding or
That's a very good question, actually, because I mean, I think it's both. And the reason why is I think we need a very strong infrastructure here, because I believe that there's a story to be told with a Philippine background, with a Philippine setting and a Philippine spirit. And, you know, understanding that our way makes it easier to organically develop something. On the other hand, having that knowledge and skill, learning it from outside where it's more, shall we say, the foundation's already been built. And so it's already more structured and more, you know, it's gone through the fire and you know exactly what you're going through. It's very helpful, because then you learn all the skill. You learn that talent. You see from the experts what should and shouldn't be done. I think that's the thing that's that we need here. We need more experts that come here. We need more people that come here to be able to get us to that level of understanding. And that's what we do. You know, I fly in trainers so that my guys don't learn it from me. I'm the worst person to train from, so I wouldn't want to do that. So you need to get it from somebody who's going to push them and going to make their brains explode, because they haven't seen this yet. They haven't done this yet. And so that's kind of how I see it. We need something that's homegrown that we can develop ourselves, because that will be cool if we can show something to the world that they've never seen, but at the same time gaining something from the world and then bringing them together and, you know, training people up here. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, and you are, you know, you're absolutely seeing this, aren't you? Because like outsourcing, I mean, it's a form of outsourcing, but effectively I believe that outsourcing eventually will just be called employment, because it's just, you know, sourcing the best candidates from wherever they're sitting in the world, really. But
exactly.
Yeah, do you see this like a continual upskilling? Because 20 years ago, outsourcing was really only just call centers, people on the telephone doing low-grade tasks, but now it's really every high-level function, isn't it?
Actually, there's a great summit I go to now, and that's actually how I'm changing my view of the word outsourcing, because I think you're familiar. You know, some people have a negative connotation on outsourcing and what that means, and especially what that means to people in the U.S., for example. It's called external development.
Ooh.
And yeah, and I like that term, because it means that we're developing partnerships, that I as a company here in the Philippines and the client that I have in Canada or in the UK or in the US, we have our means of doing what we do, and we do it well. And we're now collaborating and working together so that we can produce this. And we're working in that partnership. And we are seen more as a partner in external development compared to their internal development, where they're building their pipeline in-house. And we have our own pipeline, and we're putting them all together so that it produces something. I thought that that was brilliant. Because that's kind of how I've always dealt with and seen my role and our position in Animation Vertigo as an outsourcer, that we work with you, that we're almost like a plug-and-play company where we can do exactly what you do. So you can't tell whether it was done in-house in their studios or whether or not it was done externally in our studio here in Manila, in Animation Vertigo.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And I would imagine I appreciate this, with highly specialized services, people just assume that they're going to outsource because they would not have the special skills that you have. You do it, that is your sole role, whereas, you know, another agency or production studio might have a lot of other different roles. Whereas if you, and people kind of accept that, whereas if you outsource your customer service, it's suddenly called treachery or you're a traitor and you're not employing your own people. And
right.
It's a very difficult balance, isn't it? We market to the West Outsource Accelerator, and part of that, we get quite a lot of kickback, specifically from the US, actually. We get people calling us terrorists and traitors and it is such a shame. And in response to that, we actually wrote a white paper on outsourcing being a win-win, and I think people have to be reminded that there are mutual benefits for everyone involved in having better productivity and, you know, kind of making everything more efficient, really.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. Do you ever think, so we'll get you back, and I really want to deep dive into Animation Vertigo, but just to kind of complete the loop a little bit, how long ago did you start with your freelancing and then kind of the escalation into your own business, and what's that journey look like?
Well, I was freelancing back in, I think, 99 or so, 99 to about 2003, I've been doing some freelance work, and Animation Vertigo started in 2004. So it just came about because there was the constant in the entertainment industry in the US, there's a constant hiring, training, then releasing because the project's done and you're not going to be keeping them when the project's done. And then you rehire them when the new project's coming in. And this sort of thing makes it difficult because some companies have to retrain constantly because the people they've trained before already have other jobs or have been, you know, gone up to somewhere else. So we thought, what if there was a company that you can go to that had full-time people, experts in their field, and you didn't have to pay when you weren't using them, and you only pay when you need to, and they know your pipeline and they can get you your quality that you need. And 2004, Animation Vertigo was born, and we started trying out whether or not technical artists can exist in the Philippines. And 14 years later, I guess they can.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, you were kind of novel in terms of it being an agency for that, but also, did you start with a Filipino team? It was sort of a true outsourcing from the beginning?
From the very beginning.
And that's quite kind of forward thinking. Again, call centers have probably been around another 5 or 10 years prior to that, but there wasn't really a lot of the high skills sector, no?
Yes, it was true. At that time, it was a fairly simple process that we were teaching, and that's kind of where we wanted to start. It was just a very simple software package that we wanted to train and see if people can do. And I guess like any sort of outsourcing business that started here, it starts with something simple and measurable, and that you can tell what the start is and what the end is. It develops, of course, because as the processes and pipelines get more complicated and the services that you offer get a little bit wider, then the subjectivity of art and creativity comes in, and you have to match that with the technical skills. And that's the big challenge in any company. And I'm kind of happy that it's a challenge for any company in the world that has this kind of motion capture animation. And it's a shared pain that we have, which makes me feel like we're not like somebody that you can just send stuff to, but we're people in your field, people in the field of motion capture animation, and we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, isn't it? And you're kind of pioneers in a very new technology that's continually evolving, which I think is, you know, fantastic that it's being done, executed, and represented by the Philippines. You know, just goes to show the level of skill and capacity here. So thank you so much for your time. And I want to get you back, of course, to speak more about Animation Vertigo and really deep dive into what you do. But in the meantime, if people want to get in touch with you or Animation Vertigo, how can they do that?
Well, go to our website, www.animationvertigo.com. We have our Facebook page. We have our LinkedIn and Twitter, Animation Vertigo, or Marla Rausch. And you can reach out to me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye, Derek.
That was Marla Rausch of Animation Vertigo. A really good conversation. I enjoyed talking to her. If you want to get in touch with Marla or know any more about Animation Vertigo or anything we discussed, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/138. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then please just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.